Many blessings to you all, and welcome to your journey in faith with the Reverend Dr. Amos Chewachong. Our text for reflection is Revelation 19, 11 to 16. Revelation 19, 11 to 16. I saw heaven standing open, and there before me was a white horse, whose rider is called Faithful and True. With justice he judges and wages war. His eyes are like blazing fire, and on his head are many crowns. He has a name written on him that no one knows but he himself. He is dressed in a robe dipped in blood, and his name is the Word of God. The armies of heaven were following him, riding on white horses and dressed in fine linen, white and clean. Coming out of his mouth is a sharp sword with which to strike down nations. He will rule them with an iron scepter. He treads the winepress of the fury of the wrath of God Almighty. On his robe and on his thigh, he has this name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. My theme for reflection is the coming King, a hope fulfilled. The coming King, a hope fulfilled. The book of Revelation reaches its dramatic peak in the vision of Christ's return, not as the suffering servant, but as the victorious King and righteous Judge. This moment is the climax of history and the fulfillment of God's redemptive plan, transforming hope into reality as Christ returns to establish his kingdom and bring ultimate justice. The passage offers a powerful contrast to his first coming, where he once rode into Jerusalem on a humble donkey. He now appears on a white horse, the symbol of victory, ready to conquer and to reign. In this vision, Christ is given three names that reveal the fullness of his identity and mission. He is first called Faithful and True, underscoring his reliability in fulfilling God's promises and his commitment to justice. His eyes blaze like fire, reflecting his penetrating judgment. The robe dipped in blood is not his own sacrificial blood, but that of his enemies, marking him as the divine warrior who executes God's wrath. Christ also bears a mysterious name known only to himself, reminding us that there are dimensions to his divinity beyond human comprehension. It invites us to approach him with awe, acknowledging that while we know him as Savior and King, his nature contains depths we cannot fully grasp. This mystery calls us to worship and humility. Finally, he is titled the Word of God, linking back to John's Gospel, where Christ is the divine Logos, the ultimate revelation of God through whom all things were made. Here, as the Word, he returns to judge the world and renew creation. His Word is depicted as a sharp sword, symbolizing its power to bring both life and death. He alone will strike down the nations and rule them with a rod of iron, fulfilling the prophecy of Psalm 2 that speaks of God's Son breaking the nations with divine authority. The armies of heaven follow Christ, dressed in white linen to signify their purity, but they do not engage in battle. They come as witnesses to the victory of their King. It is Christ alone who wields the sword, demonstrating that the final judgment is his to execute. He treads the winepress of the fierce wrath of God, a sobering image that balances the reality of his mercy with the certainty of his justice. Inscribed on his robe and thigh is the title King of Kings and Lord of Lords. This signifies that all earthly powers and dominions will bow before him, recognizing his supreme authority. The one who once wore a crown of thorns now wears many crowns, symbolizing his eternal reign. My dear friends, this vision is not merely about an event to come. It represents the fulfillment of God's promise to restore his creation. Christ's second coming is the culmination of the redemptive narrative, reminding us that while his love is boundless, his justice is also absolute. Commenting about the second coming of Christ, N.T. Wright has suggested that the return of Jesus is not an abandonment of the world, but the reaffirmation of the original creation and the fulfillment of God's covenant purposes for Israel and the world. This understanding encourages us to see Christ's return as the ultimate renewal of all things, rather than a mere end. It is God's final declaration that his justice, love, and mercy will indeed prevail. As we meditate on this passage, let it fill us with hope, embolden our witness, and deepen our worship, knowing that our King is indeed coming and his reign will be forever. There are two questions for reflection. Number one, how does the promise of Christ's return shape your understanding of justice and the world's future? In what ways does this hope influence your daily life? Number two, considering Christ's role as both Savior and Judge, how can we balance proclaiming the message of grace with the call to repentance? Lord Jesus, we thank you for the promise of your return, when you will come to establish your kingdom in power and great glory. Help us to live in light of this truth, eagerly awaiting your coming and aligning our lives with your will. Strengthen us to reflect your righteousness and to share the hope of your salvation with others. May the vision of your glorious return inspire us to greater faithfulness and perseverance. Come, Lord Jesus, and make all things new. In the name of Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, we pray. Amen. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be and abide with us all, now and forevermore. Amen.